Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 12. Let me spend some time.
It seems like we've spent a lot of time already on it.
Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out, or carry out, is what it better says, your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, what does fear and trembling have to do with joy and peace? And again, as I talked about, but I don't think it penetrated, this fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And the two predicates of wisdom from a spiritual standpoint are one, if it's highly esteemed among men, it's an abomination unto God. So every value system, every idea, every thought, every plan, every agenda must be challenged by, if it's highly esteemed among men, it's an abomination unto God. Unless you can do that, then you're not even in the ball game. You're playing the wrong game.
Unless you can do what?
See? Challenge every thought, every opinion, every idea, every plan, every value system against, if it's highly esteemed among men, it's an abomination unto God. Now, I promise you, for many years, this was the first step of what I did as a believer. You know, the first thing that happened, that when after I became a believer, somebody came to me and wanted me to go back into politics now that I could be of God. And that was tempting for a minute. Or how about when I was up I almost dismissed the Primetime Live producer and the cameraman when Jim Moore was going to do everything for us during the Tilton investigation. You've got to come to this place in every minute detail of your life. If you're trying to have a happy marriage, well, so is everybody else. Therefore, if you're trying to have a happy marriage, it's an abomination unto God. Are you trying to be a good father? So is everybody else. Therefore, if you're trying to be a good father, it's an abomination unto God because it's highly esteemed among all men. Are you trying to care for or do whatever it is you're trying to do? If it's highly esteemed among men, it's an abomination unto God. That's the first predicate of the fear of God. Can that penetrate kind of deep this morning?
We talk about how nobody ever worshipped a stupid God or a stupid idol.
Stupid idol.
There's no way, I don't know of any way you can possibly see your idolatry without this.
Well,
because
you can't.
It will always be, idolatry by definition is something that is, you are totally convinced is good and right and proper.
It's every one of the aspects that you've learned your entire life.
Let's question this a minute.
Yeah.
What about, like, let's take Harry for example. Trying to produce the best Door magazine. Or take you trying to produce the last word that makes the most sense.
It's meaningless.
But you still do it.
But not as unto... What happens to it is not my business. Whether anybody pays any attention to it.
It has nothing to do with the activity. You make it an idol.
Yeah, that's where the knife edge is.
It's not the activity.
How you're perceiving it in the process or as it's happening.
Again, the issue is, do you care about the results? if you're doing whatever you do in thought, in word, or in deed, as unto God, then your mind heart is hardwired to say, well, then I have to keep trying to do my best, and I have to try real hard, and I have to act, I have to be this way, and I have to be that way, and if not, I have to act like I am. That's not what it means.
And it's very critical to me, because everything I do is highly esteemed among men, or I don't get paid.
But the point is, where does... Okay, let's go back. Let's take this. I'm glad you brought that up.
Where's your treasure?
No, no, listen, 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 listen. If your motivation is to get paid, then you're doing it as unto men and not unto God. You're doing it, if your motivation is to meet need, regardless of what happens to you, that transforms. That's what the word business means. Now, in our culture, the word business has been prostituted to mean the free enterprise system, which means I get all I can get, and then maybe it'll trickle down. Remember, I used to believe in a trickle-down theory of economics. As long as I got rich, somehow it would trickle down. Your only job is to meet need. The payment for what you do is dependent solely on God.
Yeah, well, I'm meeting need on both sides of the fence. One is the need to pay the guy who did the work. The other need is to satisfy the man that we're doing the work for.
Well, that's another part of the problem. Probably, and under normal conditions, what you're doing is at least immoral, if not illegal. Because you're acting like you don't have a company, where in fact, because you're paying all these illegal aliens as contract employees. So you're not in a place where you're... I mean, you've got to take the risk and say, I am never again going to be concerned with what I get or not get. My only role is to meet need. And it's faith that worketh by love. You've got to see that it's not on your shoulders. You've taken responsibility and moved and angled and danced through the system trying to get the best possible thing to meet the needs of your contractors or your subcontractors and needs of whoever your clients are, and you're going to kill yourself.
I missed the critical point there. Apparently,
you've got to depend only on God to get paid. You've got to do whatever you do in thought, in word, in deed, as unto the Lord. And you meet every jot and tittle of the law, because that's what discipleship is. Am I communicating? Because God, all authority, all law, even the IRS code, is there as an instrument of discipleship by the hand of God. All of the, what in your case, all of the building inspectors, all of the green tags that you have to get, all of these things are there. They're not, God doesn't give a crap about all that. He cares about you being discipled in integrity. And so the motivation, you got to hear this, the word business means to meet need. Your role, your purpose in life isn't to do some effort and then gain something from it. That's cause and effect. That's the land of Babylon. You transform the very space you're in by having only one role, and it's the only role of Christ, as that of a servant. to meet the need of those that are around you. Does somebody want... Don't put all this on Gary.
I haven't done another angle we can look at. The very first thing he said, being a good husband.
That's not your business.
Being a good father.
It's not your business. Unless you hear me. Let's just take that one.
I do hear you.
Hear what Jesus said. Forget me. Unless he that comes to me, unless you hate your mother, your father, your wife, your children, your sons, your daughters, yea, in your own life also, you can't come to him.
I see what you're saying, and I believe it. I just can't do it. Sometimes I wonder.
Well, you haven't done a good job either way. It's not a matter of that what you're doing hasn't worked to produce God or discipleship. What you're doing hasn't worked in anything. None of us have.
No, my point is, I am actually a pretty good father, but I can't lose the concern of
it. But your concern is minuscule compared to his working through you without you having that as an image of what you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be abandoned to him and him alone, taking no thought for your life, no thought for you or yours. Then his life produces. But as long as you think it's a how-to, then you will dam up the process. You will slowly but surely fill yourself with concerns about you or yours, and there will be no room in the temple for the Holy One. You are the temple of the living God. Your only job is to empty yourself. The moment care, concern, anxiety comes into the picture, it's not that you should do a better job at what you're doing. It's that should be the signal that you totally and completely make yourself of no reputation. Empty everything before the living Father. It's either, this doctrine says, God is either in total control or he has no control. There isn't partial. And that's something that none of you have understood, maybe some, but from observation it doesn't appear like you've seen it because you take your life back in certain areas. You can't have any of it back. You've been bought with a price. And this is what's lacking in the modern church, is this distinction that you have a form of godliness, but do you deny his power? You deny his power by being concerned about something. And it's righteous concern. But the predicate of the beginning of wisdom is that it's the same damn concern that everybody else in the world has. There isn't a father on the earth that doesn't want to be a good father. There isn't a husband on the earth that doesn't want to, in his definition, be a good husband. And it's all crap.
It must be, because the more I'm concerned with it, the more I fail.
Well, that's the point. That's the blessing of God. That's the Holy Spirit making, because the process has started. God cannot allow you to succeed with these in these arenas. This is what's been going on in Gary for 30 some years. You can't allow you to succeed in doing what you do. You'd have been far better off to walk away from here 30 years ago. And maybe today. Am I communicating?
It's clear that you are describing the life of Christ. It's clear. If just let it run through your head, the things that he said and did and didn't do, that's how he lived. Without question, that's how he lived.
You have to empty. That's the only place. That's the mind of Christ. And you can't grasp anything, just as he didn't grasp anything. There is no... the whole purpose of what we call sanctification, or here, carrying out your own salvation in fear and trembling, is the fear that you, by taking the slightest bit of care or concern, will grieve the Father and make his sacrifice of none effect. That's the fear and trembling.
Now, you say, his own right arm plus my ability to negotiate got him the victory.
No, but hear me. Forgive me, Michael, but I know you very well, and I've known you since the moment I met you. You can't stand pressure. The moment that you feel that there's something to do or some responsibility, you're gone. I'm here to tell you, you don't have any. No matter what anybody tells you, your job is simply one of emptying yourself. And the certainty of that is why you even came here in the first place. Don't go back to that which. Stay in that moment of emptiness. That's the only place that you can be true to yourself and to the Father. This is cosmic. It isn't some option. Otherwise, the garment is spotted by the flesh.
The reason that's so difficult is because it costs you everything that you hold dear.
It's right. It costs you everything. But you don't have anything in the first place. So what in the hell are you worried about? You just went bankrupt. The bankruptcy was the perfect tell. Oh, but you're supposed to be responsible. And it just makes me crazy because I know what you're thinking. And then you start condemning yourself because you don't have any value, and then all of this. And it's endless. You got to get off that treadmill once and for all time. Never return. You know, I could go around and to each one of you and say which it is that causes you to get back on, but that's not, you know what it is. Don't you, Ronnie?
Hmm? What I'm thinking of is I got my shopping cart, and in my shopping cart I got all my precious little things, and I got my spot under the bridge, and don't mess with my spot, and don't touch my shopping cart.
And your that little spot that you have under the bridge, and that little amount of stuff in the shopping cart is getting smaller and smaller and smaller, until pretty soon you'll be like that homeless person that I've described so often that I saw in Santa Barbara. He just walked in three blocks, three little squares of cement, and he had a routine he did every single day, and that he was in control of his world. And then your world that you're in control of, that's the illusion that you can control anything. So the world that you think you control has to get smaller and smaller and smaller. Look at Saddam Hussein. He went from president to a little hole in the ground.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and it ends up being
a little hole in the ground. And it all is because there is no integrity. Integrity is not hardwired into you. And so what you do, you prove things to yourself by making your boundaries narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower. And pretty soon, you're in this little teeny closet. That's why we are exhorted to expand the pegs of our tent, not to the very edge of existence, and prove everything. If something that you're doing or saying changes with the passage of time, throw the whole damn thing out. If anything I can say to you would be different if we were in the lion's den with Daniel, or the fire with the three young men, or it's not worth talking about.
And all of that is the opposite of what God does. God says, "Try me in any situation, at any time, in any way, in any language. I don't care. Try me."
And then you'll finally come to this place where you have never had an issue. You have never had a responsibility. You have only been he that has continued with him. You've never had a test. You have continued with him in his test. Then you see the finishedness. Then you see that every knee is bowing. Then you see that every tongue is confessing. But it can't happen until it first happens in you. Otherwise, you can never see it because you'll be seduced by how your senses perceive whatever situation you're in. And so, as I used to say to Mr. Bojo as we were driving to Oklahoma, John, show me, see all those trees? Look at all those trees. Aren't they pretty? Show me which tree you haven't committed fornication under.
He was just walking
by. Well, I... Yeah, I know. He won't ride with me anymore. Harry won't.
You know, and we don't believe the simple declarative sentences unless you become as this little child, you can't see the kingdom of God. It means you can't see the kingdom of God.
Except you be born again. But then you can be born again, again, again. Has Benny Hinn been born again, again? I mean, it's just goofy. But it's His mercy. That's why we account the long-suffering of our Lord as salvation. Because it doesn't matter. As we said the other day, it doesn't matter if you've been here 100 years or 1 minute. You're in the same position because now is always the only accepted time. And now doesn't have any past and doesn't have any future. And you know, all of you, you know well enough to know, and this thing I keep telling you, that not once have your abilities, not once has your mind, not once has your emotions, not once have your ideas ever been your friend. They've only caused you misery. So can you finally come to this place, maybe today, to know that you don't owe your mind or your emotions anything? You don't owe an obligation to anyone or anything? The Son has made you free. You're free indeed. If He hasn't made you free, then you got a leash on or something. You have to guard your words and don't invite Oli to a party or something. I mean, it's just, you want freedom or you want bondage, period. There's no in-between. You can get mad at me all you want. But you want freedom or bondage? Well, I'd like to do this, but my wife won't let me. Then you want bondage. And I promise you, what your wife wants from you anyway isn't anything to do with anything other than she's loved without condition and protected and safe. And that has nothing to do with material goods. Talk to Bojo. I can say Bojo now because Carolyn isn't here. Bojo, Bojo, Bojo.
Bojo.
No, she'll find out. Somebody will tell her, Josanna.
The generic term, Bojo. Ask a Bojo.
Ask a Bojo? Now she's the one that's busting him. That's enough. I didn't even get to one verse today.
It's Gary's fault.
Gary, do you agree with all this? If you don't, let's talk. Can you see why you don't have a deal?
Deal? What deal?
Well, anything. You said, that's what brought up my whole rant here was that, well, let's talk about my situation.
Oh, well, yeah. Good question.
It wasn't a good question. It was a stupid question because you think you're special.
No, I did it for the people who are listening.
Oh, I see. Don't you wish you had the giving spirit of Gary and the sweet spirit of Pete? We could call, remember Sweet Pete?
Sweet ass.
The more he tries, the worse it gets.
Oh, that's what you're talking about me now, trying?
Yeah.
Oh.
Every time he tries to not be
Sweet
Pete, and it's just it doesn't work.
Played a joke on a guy in college who were. We had a helium balloon, and they breathe in helium and talk like the Wizard of Oz people. And this one guy wanted to try it, and we because we filled the wind balloon with just regular air and gave it to him. And we were just rolling, laughing, because he was trying to make that funny voice. And I just thought, that's the picture. That's me trying to love people, or trying to meet need, without any power.
Well, it's like Burnett. Burnett came over here because he wanted to bring us sandwiches.
Help us out.
He wanted to help us out.
What kind of sandwiches?
Ronnie, you're such a total.
That's so Ronnie.
No, can you see? I mean, you got to know by now. Every one of you have to know by now that your attempts at doing anything have just been stupid. That's why we're so fortunate. We failed at everything. Amen? Take it, big guy.